those listening online or present in this building. Help us to learn from your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Ephesians still. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord. Starting in verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart in my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Now to him is who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen or amen. In Christ, theme of Ephesians. Still, we see it here. In Christ, our unity in Christ, our being united in Jesus Christ. This is what Ephesians is about. And really, by the end of this thing, you should feel more confident in your being united in Jesus Christ. So I want to preach a little bit on a section of this verse, of these verses. And last weekend, I don't know if you noticed, but our missionary, Bob Van Wyk, without even knowing it until I told him afterwards, he was preaching in Ephesians 2:16-ish, around there. And it was exactly where I would have been if I had been speaking on that Sunday. So God worked that out for his glory. And he was talking about the breaking down of that dividing wall in Ephesians 2. The dividing wall that's broken down that says we all have access to the same Spirit of Jesus Christ to salvation, to be his chosen people. And those of us who were once afar off, now we're all being built together as one church, as one temple for the literally, physically, and I mean literally like you can see with your eyes, we're being built together for the future manifest dwelling place of God. Can you imagine that? To actually see it. It's hard to imagine, right? We're going to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of God in the hereafter, in the future, right? And even now. So we're his dwelling places now. Do you realize that today? You have to remind yourself that you are built to be a dwelling place. Your flesh and your, but even more than that, your intellect, your emotions, everything, a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. But most of the time, how do we act? We act like we are the dwelling places for ourselves most of the time, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" So all of us are meant to house the Spirit of God regardless of how we look on the outside, whether we have a biker vest on or tattoos or our hair is pink or whatever, regardless of our skin color, right? That's big. All of this, the tearing down of that wall so that the non-Jews, the non-religious, these strangers to God, this is profound, would become his regardless of their race and regardless of their gender too, regardless of their background or nationality. All people equally chosen under one God. This is biblical definitions of equality. Don't be caught with the undertow of the current of secular culture that's talking about a different kind of equality that would be unbiblical, which I won't get into today. It's another message. All this, so when Paul's talking about a mystery in these verses, this is what he's talking about, because it's a mystery. It's amazing that us here in this room, as non-Jews, unless you're Jewish, maybe some of you guessed you're Jewish. So, but if you're non-Jewish, it's amazing and incredible. It's a mystery. How could God allow you into his kingdom? How? So that's the wonder that Paul has when he's writing this. It's the amazement. But it's a mystery that now it's not a mystery because it's revealed. It's revealed in Christ Jesus. And it's revealed in his church now. Just by the fact that we are in his church. And I don't mean just this building, the universal body of Christ. I mean, just look around you today. I know there's, just look to your left or your right. Look who's next to you. Do you know their stories? Do you? Some of you do. You don't have to look. I know it's awkward to look around, right? Do you know the stories of the people next to you? Do you know where they come from? Regardless of where they come from, regardless of their stories, they are welcome in the body of Christ. So the mystery that Paul's talking about is revealed by grace to his church, his bride, and is now made up of all of us. People from all different walks of life. But it was not always this way, although it was prophesied that all would have access to the grace of God. And this is the time that we're in now. We as the church, we're supposed to be the reflection of that mystery to the world. That is our mission. That's what these guys are doing out there at the biker rally. They're being a reflection of the love of God, of that mystery to people who probably may probably feel forgotten. Maybe they're just angry at God. We are, as Paul says, as the church, we're supposed to be somehow showing the manifold, which means various and diverse, wisdom of God to principalities and powers, according to his purpose. So God's purpose was that his church, after Christ had risen, would carry out the administering of the mystery of how great his love is to the world. And that's our mission. We are ambassadors to this wisdom. and this mystery, just as the Apostle Paul was. And guess what? For Paul, you can read it and you can kind of sense it from his voice and how he speaks. If you read these letters and you study them over and over again, you get to know the writer. Just like you do, you get to know the writer of your favorite book or the director of your favorite movies, right? You get to know Paul and you see that all this stuff was blowing his mind and he was excited about it. It's not just some like dreary reading, you know. Therefore, at a certain time, no, there was emotion behind his voice. There was passion when he's writing, led by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this mystery should blow our mind. Just like with Paul, he was like, you know, I'm the least of the apostles. I used to hate Christians. This is what Paul is saying. I hated them. I wanted them dead. He really did. And then he's like, I thought that I earned my salvation through religion and duty, and I was out to basically persecute anyone who didn't believe like me, or who didn't think like me, or who didn't have the elitist, right, mentality that I had. But now Paul was transformed when he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. He's transformed from forcing people out who don't believe like him to revealing to everyone who didn't believe like him how much God loves them. And how did he do that? By loving them and not hating them. That's radical. That's radical for a religious Jew to love Gentiles like this. It's radical in our time also, and I hope by the end of this you'll maybe see that in a new light. It's a mind-blowing mystery that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will have eternal life. And is this the mystery that we're, the revelation that we're transmitting to the world right now, 2020, October 4th? Yeah. Many aren't today, Christian family. And if you're a Christian, you're in my family. If you're not, you're on your way, spiritually speaking. Many today have marked unbelievers and the ungodly out of their lives by their actions as unable to be reached by the kingdom of God based on their very own actions. Unable to receive the grace and love of God that they've already received. Many today, this is in 2020, have reverted to a religiosity that refuses to reach the lost, but it parades itself around acting as if it's spiritual. And Paul, if Paul was here, he would be disgusted. And he would be going church to church correcting this. Every week, more news is going to break. More things are going to happen. And we as believers, we can easily show the world how unloving we are, or project to them that our God is unloving, based on our fleshly reactions to the differences of a myriad of opinions, from political parties to virus theories to skin color to choices of sinful lifestyles. Did you not know that if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you are supposed to be communicating to the world a message of the gospel of peace and love, of a God who loves them, and the mystery of Christ's love and sacrifice for us all at the cross? You are supposed to be communicating this to a world who has largely, for the most part, probably not experienced the love of God yet. Really, without Christ, you just experience your own substitutes for love, and it's not the love of God. It's not the true love of God. So the glory of God should be reflected in us to a world that sees no glory in anything. But the fact is, we rob God of his glory. This is how we do it. By not loving our neighbors. That's how we rob God of his glory to the world. We rob God of the glory that he wants to display in us when we choose to hate. And then we mask that hate, oh, it's my righteous anger. We choose to hate the very people that he created in his image and he wants us to help save. And we do this by forming the same prejudice, religious, and arrogant, prideful mentality that Paul had as a religious Jew. He enforced it. He enforced it on people. He forced his religion down their throats. But even before that, he wrote them off as, well, they can't get it anyway, so let's just get rid of them. Let's wipe them out. Lord Jesus. This is before he became a new creation, though. Here it is. Here's the grace of God. Knocked him down blind, and Paul goes from being this unloving religious guy to now here in Ephesians, he's praying that all the Ephesians, Jews and non-Jews, would comprehend the dimensions of Jesus's love for them. And he prays this in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, for this reason I bow my knees. And that's a big deal. Because usually they're praying standing up with hands raised. Or they're on their face. But he's bowing his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness. How am I going to be filled with all the fullness of God? This is an impossible prayer, it seems like. But Paul already comprehended it because he experienced it. He experienced the love of God. Remember who he was. Look to who he is now. And then all the saints who have gone before us, they already know this. Ladies and gentlemen, there are witnesses in heaven right now. People who have gone before us in the faith. And not just like those statues of people who are, you know, the saints and all that stuff. I'm talking about believers. They're up there and they fully comprehend the love and the grace of God. And they're shouting out saying, you can understand this right now where you are. You can understand it today. Do we comprehend that? It's really that same question, this question that Paul is asking. And the question is, do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? So let's present a cosmic measurement system for it that Paul really talks about. And these are the four parts of the infinite dimensions of God's love. And these verses really go along with John 3:16, which I quoted earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we'll start with the first one. And Paul says it's the width. We're talking about dimensions here. For God so loved the world. Some of your Bibles say breadth, but I think most of them say width. It's the same thing. It's a span. It's the span of God's love to the extent of it. It means to the extent of it. It's like beyond time. It's beyond space. It's beyond nations. It's beyond, please, it's beyond American Christianity, right? It is worldwide, the entire world. God breathes on all of humanity. And basically is saying, I love you to all of humanity at the same time. And God's love is so powerful that it stretches beyond our understanding. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, spans.'" There's that spans beyond time. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us," we talked about this weeks ago, "even when we were dead in trespasses and sin," spans beyond our sin. That's how wide it is. God's love for us, us as Christians, and those people that you call them, is the same. It's beyond us and them. And we have an us and them mentality as human beings, which is amazing to me. It's amazing that we can look at someone else. And this is really, really where the problem of racism or whatever else, just prejudice, anything in general, whether it's because of race or because you've sinned differently than someone else, right? We get that too. How can we hate someone or someone else who's made in the image of God when this is God's love? It's for everyone, wider than wide can be measured, and it's always been that way. And then Paul talks about the length, and this is the length of God's love, what he would go to prove his love for us. And that's the next part of John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. He proved it at the cross. He would do anything. He went to the greatest lengths to become poor for us and die for us a criminal's death, that we would become rich in him and now understand the riches of the knowledge of his love for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," God, "for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Wow. So his love went to the greatest length possible, and it's beyond our comprehension. We can't even scratch the surface of it this morning. What he has gone through for us, God becoming man to die for us, is something that we could never do. And now his perfect blood, it's shed on the cross, that we could be perfected in him only, not by ourselves. When we deserved what? We deserved wrath against this corruption that all of us were born into. Hallelujah. Next is the depth of God's love. It's so deep. More depth than we can ever imagine. Because that next part of John 3:16 says, whoever, and really, whoever believes in him. Of all the words in the Bible, probably they say that whosoever is the greatest because it includes all people, every single one. Something that today legalism blinds people into thinking of elitism. So don't you see that all people God loves and he wants a relationship with them, and that includes rich people, that includes poor people, that includes young people and old people, ignorant people, very intelligent people, black, white, red, yellow, brown, you get my point. So my question is, how we who receive this deepest love imaginable, we call ourselves believers, we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Is that what your religion states on your Facebook profile? You call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. How can we shallowly love other people, even those who are unsaved, when everyone, the Bible says, can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? Every single person has that opportunity. How will we lead them in that gospel decision by turning our backs on them and hating on them? Forget that group of people. They're out. I can't. I can't even deal with them. They just annoy me. The most annoying people in my life, God has challenged me to love the most. And it's such a radical thing. I love it. I wish I could put it into words. I'd write a book on how to love people that you first start hating, that you once hated. I don't have to write a book about it. It's already written. This is what the Bible is about. You're going to love people that you used to hate. And this is the message Paul is speaking here. And he's trying to encapsulate that love in, okay, if there was a length to it, if there was a width to it, if there was a depth to it. So no matter how bad someone is, the Bible says, if they call upon the name of the Lord, and yes, action, right? Turn from their sins. You got to do that. But how could you not when you realize how great a love it is? The Bible says that you can be saved, and Christ never turns anyone away who sincerely and genuinely desires a relationship with him. So if you're hearing this today and you've felt condemned, first of all, I know what that's like. I thought I was a really bad, bad, bad person. And I'm amazed that he's so amazing. Man, it's not about how bad you are, it's how amazingly loving and graceful he is, how much he loves you. The Bible says, John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. It's going to happen, but the one who comes to me, I'll by no means cast him out. His love is deeper because he doesn't cast out those who spent their lives casting him out. And that's God's plan, accept it or not, all that come to repentance, all. 2 Peter 3:9, it's God's plan that none be lost. That's how deep his love is. When you fathom how deep his love for you is, and it's always been, you're going to be able to love people the same way. And then you see them through the filter of the blood of Christ. You see them how God, just an inkling of how God sees them, and it's amazing. Rather than your own conditional definition of love that can't even love someone who watches a different news network than you. Hey, right? Come on. God's love is so deep, it's never shallow. It's not this front, or it's not a fake smile, right? That talks behind your back. That's not God. He sinks to the depths of our sins to rescue us from our sin, no matter how deeply we've gone astray. Finally, the height, number 4. And this is from the last part of John 3:16. But they'll have everlasting life. And this is our portal to above. And we need a portal right now, because if you get caught up in what's below, you're going to go crazy and you're going to fall apart. Heaven above heaven, that's what we can't see, and this lasts forever. Remember, you were meant to be eternal. You are an eternal being. You are not just flesh and blood. Although this part will pass away, the corruptible will put on one day the incorruptible. This isn't a cult. This isn't a fantasy film. This is a reality. It's an objective reality that has been confirmed for generations, over 2,000 years, written in ancient manuscripts, thousands and thousands and thousands of them collaborating and confirming each other. It's never been destroyed, and it's the Bible. And the fact of the matter is, you have to understand that it's completely true, and it can be trusted. It doesn't contradict itself. It's the Word of God. This is what it's confirming for us today. Christ dying on the cross basically took on the hell that we deserved, and it brings us eternal life with him despite our sin. We have eternal life in him now, this morning. That's why we can be blessed this morning in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of yada, 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 yada. It's always going to be something, right? You can have a blessing and a peace in the midst of it because God wants to use you in the midst of it. The enemy wants to distract you in the midst of it. He gives us life abundantly even here. Remember, you have access to and you're seated. Always remember that you're seated with Christ. Even though your body's here, you're still connected, right? You get to have what all those other crazy belief systems want to do. You get to have the reality of it as a believer in Jesus Christ, because it's the only way to be connected to the heavenly realm. It's the highest knowledge. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never, ever die. Do you believe this? That's Jesus himself saying to her, do you believe this? You gotta believe this. It's the highest knowledge, the love of God, the love embodied in Jesus Christ is the mystery revealed for his glory in us, his bride, his bride. Without that understanding of love, we cannot reach the lost, ladies and gentlemen. Lori Peterson. So my question is, do you know his love today? And I'm closing. Do you know the width of it? Do you know the depth of it? The length, the height of it? I mean, look at those, I don't know, look at the four. I was imagining this as I was preparing, and I looked at the cross, and, you know, just, do you know that the evidence of God is already in your mind this morning? Do you want me to give it to you? And I don't know if this is, I don't know if you can, remember, I'm one of those crazy deep thinkers, right? So I think about things a little too deep, right, honey? She's like, yeah, he's crazy. Can you imagine something in your mind? Can you think about something and picture it? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you can do that, right? What? Do you know why that's so amazing? That is God, his creative power, who designed your mind. You can imagine things that you're not actually seeing with your eyes. You're seeing it in your mind's eye. That's what separates us from every other part of creation. We have this ability to supernaturally imagine and create things, amazing things, from the Mona Lisa to whatever, right? Yeah, you can train an animal to do that, but they're not having that creative, made in the image of God imagination that you have. You have access to that all the time. So Paul, I think he wants us to imagine the depth, the width, the depth, the length, the height of God's love. And I was imagining this, and I was looking at the cross, and I'm like, wow, the width of it. Look, I see it right there. The length of it. I see that right there. And then the depth of it. And I'm like in my mind, and I'm looking down, and I'm seeing it going all the way down to the depths of hell where I was, where I used to live, in an alley when I had a needle up my arm, right? That was my hell. He went down that lower to save me. Took on all that sin and your sin. And then the height of it, it's like I picture this white light shooting out of the top of the cross, going all the way to heaven and then up to eternity. Those are cosmic dimensions. I think Paul was talking about the cross when he was talking about these dimensions. Those are the dimensions of his love. They go on and on. They're incomprehensible. They're indescribable. They're outside of your realm of thinking. But just the fact that we can kind of think about it is amazing. That's why you're a miracle today. Your life, your salvation, it's a miracle. And it's worth dying for over anything else. It's worth fighting for. It's worth loving other people for over anything else. Over the allegiances of man. Over the allegiances of opinions. Of governments, of authorities, of principalities, and even in the spiritual realms, because they all crumble under the knowledge of the dimensions of his love, because they're mind-blowing. So will you receive that love from him? Maybe you're not used to receiving love. Hey, fatherless people, you don't have to raise your hand or acknowledge who I'm. This isn't going to help you much, but I know what it's like to be fatherless. I lost my dad in my 20s to suicide. He wasn't around much anyway. He worked a lot. It scarred my impression of God's love. It scarred it big time. It's taken me a long time. It takes a while because you're not used to it. Or maybe someone hurt you, or maybe you were abused, right? Maybe you were in a bad relationship. Maybe you had a previous relationship or marriage or something where somebody abused you. I don't know what it is. And I'm just randomly saying things as God's leading me, which probably isn't so random. But your impression of love has been scarred by someone else. Don't put that on. See, God's love, his dimensions are eternal. Human dimensions of love, they end. They're put in a box. They stop at conditions. Well, if you do this for me, blah, 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 blah. God isn't like that. He loves you despite all that. Will you receive that kind of love from him? And can you allow that love unmeasurable to permeate into your thinking now and your perspective in order that you can love other people now based on that love that you've received? This is the gospel. You're going to love people like God loves them, not like you love them, because you can't love people like he loves them. But he can use you to love people through you by his power. And that goes right into obeying the greatest commandment, to love the one who loved you when you were a wreck and wretched. And now in turn, you can really genuinely say, yeah, I love this person. I love this person. I love this person. Not to glorify your own opinion, not to be right, not to go towards your preferences or leanings or affiliations. God's glory stretches past our man-made ideas. And if we don't start walking in this now, we're gonna miss out on an opportunity to reach people for the gospel. You're going to miss out because you didn't understand God's love when he's screaming it out to you from the cross. It's more than a necklace we wear. It's more than something we post up, even on our biker vest, guys, right? It is a lifestyle understanding of how deep this love is. If we don't do this, we're not going to be reflecting Christ to an ungodly world. We'll be reflecting our own selves and a love that only fits inside a box of religious ideals in a measurable and temporal earthly dimension. And that's not what Paul wanted or the apostles, because they experienced this mystery. It changed their lives. And they were dead set. We are going to preach this gospel to the whole world. We're going to tell the whole world God loves them. Yeah, you're probably going to have to change your whole life, but man, his love is so life-changing. It's going to happen. They preached the gospel to a world they once hated. They hated Gentiles so much, we can't even imagine. It is this kind of love and that understanding of it and expressing of it that the Bible says in Matthew 24, I'm getting to the close, the fifth closing, but the Bible says in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. Now, we are in the last days. I don't know how long it's going to last. Could be next year, could be 10 years, who knows? But we're in those last days, obviously. Have been for a while. Matthew 24, 12 says, the love of many will grow cold. Not the Bible reading plan of many, not the church attending of many, not the religious acts of many. It's talking about the love of many will grow cold. Because without love, all the other stuff that you do, even in the name of Jesus, guess what? It's white noise in the background of a life that's just trying to be a better person to impress someone for the wrong reasons. All your morality, all the good things you do, it's worthless without the love of God, without experiencing it and cherishing it, understanding it, having a real passion for Christ, who he's always loved you, even before you were born, right? And that just doesn't mean that people will grow cold to the love of God, but here we go. People are going to grow cold to loving each other. Now, what better time can we see that today? We have people who are hating each other all over the place. All who are far off. So you can measure your real love for God now by how you actually love other people. So today I want you to reflect on that. Not just in these few minutes in a little, you know, church, we got to end, we got to close, we got to move on. This is something you need to reflect on in your own heart. When you see someone else, do you really love them? If you don't really love them, if you have an issue with them, this is where the Spirit of God has to work on you. And here's the best part. God promises to work on you. He works out all things according to his purpose. And he wants to work on you so you are the most loving person that you never could be on your own. You measure your love for God by how you love other people. The annoying people, the smelly people. How about, can you love somebody who just, you know, drove by and gave you the middle finger? This is radical love. Can you pray for that person? Can you love that person? Yes, you can, by the grace of God. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't become the many whose love is going to grow cold. We have to stoke the fires now. Meditate on the love of Christ, the dimensions of his love. Look at the cross as a reminder for the width, the length, the depth, and the height. Know it and show the world what Jesus has already proven on the cross. It's amazing. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are bound by time, Father, but you're not. Thank you for your grace and mercy. God, I pray that today we would have a new revelation of your love in our lives as we go out and we are faced with opportunities not to hate other people, but to prove by our love that we are your disciples, because that's what your word says, Lord. It's not by anything else. They'll know that we're your disciples and followers by how we love you, how we love our families, how we love people who, by human standards, we should hate. You taught us what love is at the cross, Lord. You showed us the immeasurable and put it in dimensions and displayed it on the cross. Father, help us to display that to a lost, a confused, a sick, and dying world. God, we don't want our love to grow cold. I don't, Lord. Father, I say today, start with me, Lord. I do an altar call for myself, God, and I come right to your presence, Lord. Any person or area in my life where I'm not loving enough, Father, help me, God. Help me see people like you see them. Help us as your church, your bride, to show the world the manifold riches of your glory by how you loved us at the cross. Lord, today as your body live stream here in person, we lift up, God, every single person who we know in our lives who is suffering, God, physically suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray against sickness, Lord. We pray for your healing power, God. We pray for you to strengthen our immune systems, God, in a crazy flu season, Lord. We pray against the fear of, am I going to die? We pray against that in Jesus' name. We trust you, God. We thank you for your church, Lord, that we are gracefully a part of, Lord. Father, we pray for those mentally tormented this morning by depression, by suicide, captive by unforgiveness and bitterness, Lord. Set them free. Set your captives free as you promised in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us as we leave here today, as we turn off the live streams. Bless us, God, according to the riches of your mercy and your grace. Really, Lord, that's all we need. Earthly riches cannot compare to your love and the price that you paid for us. Be with us today as we leave here, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.